ask for your careful and your prayerful attention for our brother, Apostle Jay Moser, as he brings to us the message that has been placed upon his heart. Brother Jay.
Thank you, Don. Well, I enjoyed our program, and I thought it was quite revealing about all the mother's pleasant aromas, and of course we found out really what has been the problem in my daughter-in-law's life, Amy's, that the singing and dancing that's been going on has, of course in her case, I guess it'd be called break dancing, wouldn't it? So anyway, I don't know if she can hear me now, but I hope she heard that. So anyway, what I want to talk to you about tonight is the great weakness which we have as human beings and the great strength of God. I have known great weakness, and I am assuming most of you have. But that's not always true. Sometimes when you're young, you don't really feel the weakness and how weak you truly are. But as time goes by, you begin to feel those weaknesses more because you realize your flesh is just slowly wasting away. I remember my Aunt Evelina, I was telling her something. I can't remember what we were talking about, something, and she made a comment. I don't remember what we were talking about, but I'll never forget the comment she made. And she said, you know, you're saying that because you're young. And when the day comes when you're not able to do certain things, you may change your mind. And in this particular case, my Aunt Evelina was absolutely correct. That is an absolute truth. We think a lot of things we can do, when in reality, we ourselves are not able to do them without the help of Almighty God. I would like to begin by reading one of my favorite scriptures found in the book of Psalms 121, the first four verses of this psalm. I was very interested. I gained a completely new understanding of this when I went with Brian and Becky and the rest of the brothers and sisters who went over to Israel, and a trip which was one of the highlights of my life. But I remember the tour guide telling us that it was the Jewish understanding that this psalm, number 121, was written upon Mount Zion. And I had read history books that said Mount Zion was the biggest hill there in the area. But she pointed out, it's the smallest one. Everywhere you look is up. Everywhere. And it was in a time of great trial in his life when he wrote this psalm. And as she told me this, I began to remember and began to look at my Spanish Bible and in other books where I believe I had a misunderstanding of this scripture. And I'd like to read these first four verses in Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. David is sitting in the city of David. And he's looking up, and everywhere he looks is bigger than he is. And all of the problems and the things he experienced in his life, and he's looking up. And he makes this statement in our English Bible. It doesn't come with a question mark. I believe it is a question. And from whence cometh my help? David is asking this question, where is my help? And he answers it. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Where does our help come from? Where do we find strength? It is not in ourselves. I believe with all my heart it is not in us. It is not in our own understanding. It is not in a mental trick. It is not in learning something new, some new skill of thinking. It is in God. That is where our help comes from. And I would like to illustrate this. I want to go to a scripture that I remember a brother, I can't remember who it was, preached about this and used this, and he brought out some aspects about it. But I would like to bring out something that I see in this particular scripture about the Apostle Peter. And I'm going to go to the book of John, chapter 18, verse 25 through 27. And you remember the Lord prophesied to John and told him, you know, before the cock crows, before that rooster crows in the morning. And I found as I traveled around the world, because I didn't grow up around roosters, but in every country I've been in, there's roosters. They start crowing at 3 and 4 in the morning, you know. They crow early. And so, but he said, before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. And, you know, not me. He took stock of his own strength, that he would not do that. But he did. And we read here of 2 occasions, verse 25. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself, and they said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? And he denied it and said, I am not. And one of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, said, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? And here's the guy that Peter pulled out his sword and he whacked off his ear. And so this guy, he probably was a little bit overcome by the ear episode, but he remembers this guy. He remembers Peter there. Did not I see thee in the garden with him? And Peter then denied again. And immediately the cock crew. The rooster crowed. Well, the difference, I don't believe he learned anything new. I believe that the answer is simply in the story that took place in the book of Acts in chapter 2. We find a completely different story beginning with verse 1. I want to read the first 4 verses. And this is what it says. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. A rushing mighty wind. And if some of you have been, I'm assuming, in truly a mighty wind, you know, when it gets up around 60, 70 miles an hour, things start moving. Roofs start moving. Trees start falling over. All kinds of things begin happening right around there. It's a frightening thing. There's not much you can't do anything about it. But here's this rushing, mighty wind from God Almighty. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Something just took place. There was no act from Peter, from those people there. They did nothing but just be together. They were together. If you go on down, go to verse 12. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? And others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, I don't need to read anymore. He was hiding just days or a few days earlier he was hiding. And now he stands in a public place with hundreds, maybe thousands of people around. And he's standing up. God changed his life by the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit that we are given. Well, I began having thoughts about this particular sermon. And I'll just tell you, frankly, so that you understand where I'm going. And that is, I had an experience a few days ago I had an experience here the day that we met in fasting and prayer, and as we prayed for my daughter-in-law, I sat there, and my mind was drawn away. And there was one scripture that came to my mind especially, and I'll get to that scripture. And I could see something I had never seen in my life before. I could see something. I could sense something. I could feel something that was different. I felt a new understanding given unto me. And so I will share it, and I will present it to you for your concern or for your thought as we enter into this time in history when we need the strength of God. Your own physical strength, if you're on a diet and you're lifting weights, you know, good. I'm glad. You know, I had a young man come over to the house, and he was barring to borrow some weights and do all kinds of stuff. Of course, yesterday it looked kind of weird to me when he was there, and I wasn't sure. I wanted to get my weights back, I think. But anyway, you know, I don't have any problem with that. I've done it myself off and on all my life. I did it as a young man all the time. It was a hobby with me. You know, I did it especially when I was younger. And I enjoyed it. And I enjoyed feeling the strength, you know, that young men feel. It's kind of neat. You remember when you were young? You know, some of you that are still young, it's, I don't know, it feels kind of good. You know, it's just this, I don't know, it's all this energy that God gives to us. And it's a wonderful thing, and there's nothing wrong with enjoying that, except when you begin to think that that's what you are. I'm really strong. I'm fighting, right now, I'm fighting allergies and trying to keep my nose clear and of course, thinking about, you know, the brownies my mother never made, but she did make brownies once in a while, but there are some wonderful stories about my mother's cooking. But it doesn't keep me from respecting her to this very day. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 29. This is a statement made under the influence of the Spirit of God by Samuel to Saul. And we'll go back to the rest of this, but I want to read the statement in verse 29. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. This is one of the names given unto our God, unto our Savior, the strength of Israel. But that's what he is. He is the strength of his people. It is not you, it is not me. Well, Samuel knew something about that. He grew up from the time that he was a little boy, a child, I'm going to read a couple of more in Samuel. I want to go back to the second chapter of Samuel and read a couple of verses, verse 21 and verse 26 in the second chapter of Samuel, verse 21. And the Lord visited Hannah, so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Now, she was barren prior to this, so God touched her. And as she gave Samuel, she told the Lord she would dedicate him unto the Lord, she would consecrate him unto the Lord, and she took him to the high priest and turned him over to the high priest so that he could serve them, and he did. And he had many experiences. But when she did this, God gave her more children. Verse 26, and the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. He was blessed. Samuel was blessed, not because he was talented, not because he had studied, not because of these things. He was blessed because God decided you are going to be blessed. Because your mother, what your mother has done and consecrated you. And of course, if he had not responded to that, well, the Lord would have withdrawn those blessings. But he did respond to it. And God lifted up this mighty man in Israel, Samuel, who was a great prophet in Israel. Well, this strength of Israel, we find it mentioned over and over for things that are past and things that are present and things that are in the future. I want to read four prophecies of things that are in the future, of the great strength and power that the Spirit of God is going to move upon this world from this day until the time that Jesus comes back. God has a contention with the nations, and he has a goal. He has something he's going to do, and we can participate in that. But let's read these prophecies. The first one in Joel chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. Joel chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord also shall roar out of Zion, and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people, and the strength of the children of Israel. In this time, when there's not going to be hope, there's not going to be anything bright about this world, it's going to be a dark and a cloudy day, God himself is going to be the hope of his people. God himself is going to be the strength of his people. Another prophecy, Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 14 and 15. Jeremiah 16, verse 14 and 15. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands whither he hath driven them. And I will bring them again into their own land that I gave unto their fathers. Something is going to transpire, and in the process of being transpired, that's going to make Moses look like a speck, like nothing. The things that took place in the days of Moses, what's going to happen that we may be able, that you may be able to live to see, is something that is going to be so great, it's going to make the parting of the Red Sea look like nothing. Forgotten. It's so great and so powerful. We'll read it again. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 3 through 8. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase, and I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise up unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. And in his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries whither I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. That same prophecy. Something so marvelous is going to be transpired all over the world. God is going to gather in. Now, I don't know exactly the time frame. I don't know how much he's going to do before he comes back, but he's going to do it. And when we look back, we will all look, this is the greatest thing that has ever happened in our lives. Marvelous. Greater than the parting of the Red Sea, greater than all the plagues that hit Egypt. It will not be said anymore or mentioned. But now look what a living God has done. Once again, he made a highway in the ocean and in the desert that his people could walk on dry ground from every land. That's the promise that we have. From 3 Nephi, chapter 9, verse 47 to 53. 3 Nephi, chapter 9, verse 47 to 53. Yea, remember that I spake unto you and said that when the words of Isaiah should be fulfilled, behold, they are written, Ye have them before you, therefore search them. And verily, verily, I say unto you, that when they shall be fulfilled, then is the fulfilling of the covenant which the Father hath made unto his people, O house of Israel. And then shall the remnants which shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth be gathered in from the east and from the west and from the south and from the north. And they shall be brought to the knowledge of the Lord their God, who hath redeemed them. And the Father hath commanded me that I should give unto you this land for your inheritance. And I say unto you that if the Gentiles do not repent after the blessing which they shall receive, after that they have scattered my people, then shall ye which are of the remnant of the house of Israel, of the house of Jacob, go forth among them. And ye shall be in the midst of them, which shall be many, and ye shall be among them as a lion among the beasts of the forest, and as a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who, if he goeth through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. Thy hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversaries, and all thine enemies shall be cut off. And I will gather my people together as a man gathereth his sheaves into the floor. For I will make my people with whom the Father hath comforted, yea, I will make thy horn iron, and I will make thy hooves brass. That is one of the scriptures that always makes me wonder, who are these people? I don't believe it's drug lords from Colombia. I don't believe it's these dictators from South America. This is somebody else. I don't know who it is. But they're God's people. A people. God made no covenant with a drug dealer, except to destroy him someday. This is somebody else. He's made a covenant with these people. A covenant to gather them, as he says. Something is going to happen. Something. And we must not be fearful, but be strong in the Lord as these things happen. Well, we know, of course, what happened to... We look back in the kind of things that God does when he strengthens his people. To me, one of the greatest examples of this is one of the judges, Samson, the only Superman that ever walked the face of the earth. The only one. Just as God, you know, created a fish to swallow up Jonah, there aren't any others. It's the only one. He prepared that. He prepared Samson. And where did he get his strength? First thing you can say is his hair. That's what most people say. They believe it was from his hair. Don't be foolish. It did not come from his hair. Let's read. Judges 13 and 5. 1 through 5, 1 through 5. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. So for 40 years, God delivered the children of Israel into servitude for the Philistines. And they controlled them. They probably collected taxes and things from them. And they ruled over them. And why? Because they did evil. They did evil. It's as simple as that. They did what was wrong. They disobeyed over and over again. And this is what God did. Verse 2. And there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren, and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman, and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren, and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Of course, it says, you know, he's going to be a Nazarite, and never would a razor come upon his head, never would his hair cut. It must have been pretty long by the time he was a grown man. It must have been pretty long. He must have looked kind of like a wild man. I don't know if he tied it up. I don't know what he did. But it must have been kind of a frightful sight, really. But don't make the mistake of thinking that it was his hair that made him strong. Well, she did conceive, and And the strength that she received came from her obedience to God. An angel was sent to her, and she was told what to do, and if she had not obeyed, it would not have transpired. She did what God told her to do, and therefore, the strength of the Spirit was upon her. The strength of the Spirit of God was upon her, and she was given strength. As it says in Hebrews 11:11, just one verse about Sarah, through faith, also Sarah herself, through faith, received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. So Sarah was given a child. She received strength. From what? Did God change her body and make it all different? Or did the Spirit give strength? Did the strength come from the Spirit? Did he, and this is the point I want to get. I want you to think a little bit differently about what God does for his people most of the time. Okay, Judges 13 and 24 and 25. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. The child grew, and the Lord blessed him. Verse 25, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. But then we go with this story, you know the story, by a temptress, a woman of the Philistines or somebody, I can't remember exactly where she was from, but I'm pretty sure she was a Philistine. And she tempted him, tried to get him, you know, tell us where your strength comes from. And the strength came from he obeyed God. His mother told him, do not cut your hair. An angel of God told me, obey this voice. Obey this voice. Do not. You are a Nazarite. You are set aside for a particular purpose. But we read here in chapter in Judges, chapter 16, verse 22, after he got his hair shorn and his eyes put out, in verse 22, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. But you know, he still wasn't strong. You read the sad, tragic conclusion. One of the things that we learned in Israel was that the different mindset that these people have, that their army has. They take all of their young men and women and they take them up on top of, what's that called? Masada? Is that right? Yeah, Masada. And they have their graduation for all their military, the men and women, up there where they held out to the end, to the last man. Where the last few, they decided to commit suicide and not permit the Romans to take over them. And that's why they have it there. Never let Israel be taken again. This is their mindset. It's a mindset of Samson. Not David, who went out to conquer, but of Samson. It's a different kind of a mindset that they have. I want to read here where Samson's strength came from. And in verse 28 of the 16th chapter of Judges, Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once. Just one more time. Give me strength. Just once more. God. It was the Spirit of God that pulled those pillars down. That's what it was. The Spirit of God. It wasn't by some freak of nature. He wasn't bit by a hybrid spider or something. The Spirit of Almighty God. Nothing changed in that man except God was with him. That's what changed. And he was able to do this marvelous feat. Pull down a mighty house. Kill, I don't know, 3,000, 5,000, I don't know what it was. And himself. And it says here, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, and the one with his right hand, and the other with his left. And Samson said, Let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. And so the dead, which he slew at his death, were more than they which he slew in his life. You know, it's interesting, I find here, that even this man, in his errors and things, he realized who it is that actually has the power of life and death. And he made that statement to God. You know, I asked him, he knew he couldn't take his own life. Let me die. He left it in God's hands. And that's what we have to do. When God gave him strength, God's Spirit gave him strength. Well, as I sat here on that Wednesday night, and they asked us to administer to Amy, and prior to that, we had these prayers, and I prayed, Dear God, so that I may know that you are with me. Tell me what to say. Tell me what to say. And he did. He told me. Strengthen my daughter-in-law with thy spirit. Well, as I sat there and I thought about it, I comprehended, I tried to comprehend everything that he was telling me in a few words. Scripture came to my mind. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 and verse 3. And the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. You know, we can only imagine. I've seen artists try to draw, and scientists try to, you know, figure out what this is all about. And of course, and then it said, you know, it said there was darkness, and the next verse is, you know, let there be light. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Light before the sun. You know, we probably would be amazed at how much of what goes on in our daily life is actually from the power of God that He permits. I have tried in my life at times to struggle against something that I later realized God was not permitting me to do. You're wasting your time to try and struggle against the Lord. Can't be done. You can't do it. It's impossible. Everything you do is a waste of time. Until God moves on you. Well, we probably would be amazed at how the Spirit of Almighty God holds this universe together. The Spirit of God moved on the water. What did it look like? Was it roaring? Was it steam? What did it look like? What was it? Was it, I don't know. But it was without form and void. Spirit brought order into that life of the earth. And life began. The creation of man began when he began to bring this order by the power of his Spirit. He holds it together by the power of his Spirit. But is the water any different? I believe it was just H2O. And when he got done, it was H2O. It was God. It was God that changed everything. It's God that held it and began moving the tides with the moon and everything. It's God that does this. Why he holds this universe together. And all he has to do, I believe, is just release his control. As it says, you know, someday the heavens will be rolled together as a scroll. I don't know how long that'll take. You know, that's up to him. He knows. But certainly, when he takes off that control with the power of his Spirit, everything changes. And when the power of his Spirit comes, everything changes, at least from what we can see. 3rd Nephi, chapter 8, verse 25 to 27. 3rd Nephi, chapter 8, verse 25 to 27. And when he had done this, he wept again, and he spake unto the multitude, and saith unto them, Behold your little ones. And as they looked to behold, they cast their eyes towards heaven, and they saw the heavens open, and they saw angels descending out of heaven, as it were in the midst of fire. And they came down and encircled those little ones about, and they were encircled about with fire. And the angels did minister unto them, and the multitude did see and hear and bear record. And they know that their record is true, for they all of them did see and hear, every man for himself. And they were in number about 2,500 souls. And they did consist of men, women, and children. So I'm picturing this. And I never pictured it before until that night. I've always in my life, I've been, the mysteries of God, hopefully I'll continue to learn about this particular incident, more of them. But this much I know, those kids were no different. They still wet their pants. They still cried. They still bled. They still fell down. They still fought with their brothers. But God was with them. That is the difference. God, the Spirit of God, and it's symbolized by this fire and angels preparing their minds maybe to receive the God. We don't understand everything that the Spirit does. All of its works are we can't fathom what it does, except the difference when God is not with you. When God is with you, the child will grow and gain in favor before God and men. That's the promise that we have. Well, from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. Verse 28 to 30. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends and the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. His strength. He's not going to make their bodies, their molecules be suddenly stronger. The Spirit does it. Makes us stronger. And I have, and have you not as well, felt, and you know, as I sat there contemplating this, Brother Glenn stood up and he said, and I knew that the Lord had touched me. He said, the Spirit of God can strengthen us. And that was my witness. I knew he'd talk to me. The Spirit of God can strengthen us. And he said, you know, and we can, even though it's late, make us strong. I knew. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run, not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. In every way that you can imagine, whatever is needed, whatever God knows you need, if it's physical or if it's spiritual. Yes, He can make you run and walk. He can make you heal. He can protect you. He can keep you from breaking. God, this is what He does so often. And not to say that He actually doesn't physically change things, because He does. And I'm never going to deny that He does. But so often we misinterpret what He does, because it is His Spirit that is there that makes it okay. It is His Spirit that makes us strong. It is His Spirit that gives us the strength to resist in things. It is His Spirit that gives us the strength to stand up publicly, to do things we never would have done, just like Peter, that just hours before he probably never would have done. But after that one instance, when God was with him then, he stood up. Because the Lord was with him. Mosiah chapter 9, verse 39. You know, we get our help from all kinds of areas in life. One of them is from our brothers and sisters, and this scripture just points it out. And now, as you're desirous to come into the fold of God and to be called His people, and are willing to bear one another's burdens, that they may be light. You're commanded. If you're going to receive the strength from God in your own life, you better be helping those around you. You better be standing with them. You better be comforting them when they need comfort, strengthening them, and then in your hour of need, God will strengthen you, and you will handle anything, anything. Alma chapter 11, verse 66 to verse 60, excuse me, verse 63 to verse 66. And it came to pass that the burdens which were laid upon Alma and his brethren were made light. Yea, the Lord did strengthen them that they could bear up their burdens with ease. And they did submit cheerfully and with patience to all the will of the Lord. And it came to pass that so great was their faith and their patience that the Lord, that the voice of the Lord came unto them saying, be of comfort, for on the morrow I will deliver thee out of bondage. And he saith unto Alma, thou shalt go before this people, and I will go with thee and deliver thee, this people, out of bondage. And that's it. You know, they had to wait until God said, now go forth. I'll go with you. I'll stand with you, Alma, and this people. I will deliver you. My strength. And it is God's strength that is going to deliver us in the future. In every circumstance that we come across, whether you lose your job, whether you lose a loved one, whether someone in your family falls away from the faith, God is our strength. It is God who will be the brace of your wrist. It is His Spirit that will do these things. That none of us will rise up and say, look what I did. But we will rise up in joy. And you can have joy. You can have rejoicing because of the presence of God with us. I'd like to close by reading from 2 Samuel chapter 22, verses 1 to 7. A psalm of David, a song that he sang. Verses 1 to 7, chapter 22 of 2 Samuel. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and so shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. This should be something we should be coming. You realize how many people said things like this in the scriptures? Nearly all. God is my strength. It is God that was with me. It is God. It's the same thing when Nephi, he was looking at himself. Look at me. You know, I get mad at my brothers. I'm angry and everything happens. And look at me, what wretched man I am. But I know my God. I know in whom I believe. I have... And then he proclaimed all the things that God had done for him. And so, as good as Nephi was, he made those statements, but he knew that it was truly God that had been with him. He had encircled him about with the arms of his love. He had lifted him up. He had carried him on the wings of his spirit, he said. This is the gift which you have, and it is yours to have if you will cry out just as Samson did, this once. Be my strength. God bless you.